I've been reading out of 1 Samuel this week, and not necessarily designed to read there. I've taken this class, and it happened to be the selected scripture that the instructor wanted us to read. And I was just looking at this, and I thought it was interesting that the wisdom that we read. This is the Adventures and Odyssey Bible. It's a kid's Bible. And it said, Saul makes another mistake. The poor guy couldn't do much right. But he was his own worst enemy, too. And so as I was thinking about this week and thinking about the message and where do we really want to go after talking about the church last week and talking about the challenge that we need to face with ourselves, is looking at what can I do differently. If I continue to do the same thing, and I was in a meeting a couple weeks ago with service in a meeting, and I think I may have used this phrase, and you've heard it before, if I always do what I've always done, I always get what I've always got. And there's a lot of truth to that. And so sometimes we just have to step out and we have to do something different. And so as I was looking at what would really be a good topic after presenting that last week, and the thought came to my mind, well, what about talking about weakness? Because sometimes in our weakest moments is when God can really reach down and make us the strongest. Sometimes we just have to admit that there's just something we can't do. Maybe there's something we don't want to do that we know we should do it. And so we don't, and we perceive ourselves as being feeble or being weak. And I don't think that's what God really intended for us to be. So we don't look at weakness as a strength. But when we can recognize it as a weakness, as something I can't do, then it can become a strength, and we can overcome the problems that we have. Everyone wants to be strong in everything that they do. None of us want to admit that we have shortcomings, do we? I know that one of the classes that a person I know was taking a couple weeks ago, when I was taking this one on transformative leadership, it was a preaching class. And he dances all around, and you know, and was doing his message, because I heard some comments from some people, and I'm thinking, is that a weakness or is that a strength? What is that perceived at? And a lot of times our weaknesses are perceived different from ourselves as they are from other people. We don't always think that, you know, that what we think is a weakness is a weakness as other people might. And so what we do is we focus on what we do well. The things that we, you know, that we can really accomplish. If there's something that we all can do well, then we focus on it. That becomes the point of what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. Rather than going back and thinking, well, there's something over here I need to work on. But it's easier to work on our strengths than it is to work on our weaknesses. It's kind of like the 12-step program. The first thing is you got to admit you got a problem. And sometimes that's difficult to do. And so I thought, well, what if people could see inside of me? What would they see? What would be inside Larry that are the weaknesses that he might have? I just saw Jim look over at Cindy thinking, maybe she'll give him a list of things that I have that are my weaknesses. But what we perceive may be different. And so if someone could look inside of us, what would they see? Would they see someone strong? Someone that is courageous? Someone that maybe has a problem? And most of our weaknesses, we hide them inside. We don't want to let them out. We don't want anything that would give someone the perception that I'm not who I hope they think I am. And so when we do that, we get caught up in what our past is rather than being concerned about what our future is and what our future holds for us. Weaknesses, and when we can identify them, will give us an opportunity to radically change our lives. There's a note on the monitor out there about the 60-day challenge. And it is, what can I radically do that will change me, that may in turn change someone else? Is there anything I can do? Sometimes it's we look at that and we try to identify what it is, and it might be a weakness that we're trying to radically change. We look at Joseph in the Bible. Joseph's weakness was probably his, what's a good word for it? I'm trying to find one, but he felt like he had favor of his dad, and he really did. His dad gave him more than he gave his brothers. And so he flaunted it. Said, one of these days I'm going to rule over you guys. And they didn't like that. So they ended up conniving a story and telling their dad that he had been killed and all these things that had happened, taking his bloody coat back that they had given to him. Joseph rose up to be the overseer of the nation. Paul thought he had the world by the tail when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, riding down that road and knocked off of a horse and blinded for 3 days. And yet he became one of the weak, from the strongest, really, person of that day when he was Saul of Tarsus, to the weakest person at that time because he was blind and he had to be led around. But he used that strength to listen to God and wrote the majority of the New Testament. And then there was Peter. Jesus sent John and Peter down to prepare the place for the Last Supper, for their last time together. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, you're going to deny me 3 times. He says, oh no, Lord, not me. And what'd he do? He denied him 3 times. And yet Peter is the person who Jesus founded the church on, the New Testament church. He said, on this rock I will build my church. So in our greatest weakness can be perceived as our strength if we're willing to give it to the Lord and let him change it. In this class that we're doing, one of the questions that was presented was something to do with how would you present something to your church board? And it would have been too simple to say, I'll just tell them. It's got to be more in depth than that. And so, you know, his instructor wanted this one page explanation of how we would do that. So I send in a page, and we have to respond to the other people in our group. And I'm responding to somebody that wrote about 3 sentences. And I'm thinking, man, how far did you space that apart to get one page out of 3 sentences? And I'm sitting there looking at that, and you know, and one of the, and it was really interesting looking at some of the comments, because you know, some of them were skeptical to do it. One person is not skeptical, but hesitant, afraid to bring it up. And my response is, what are they going to say, yes or no? Not a big deal. But it's something that we look at, and the weakness is that hesitancy to speak up or to say something. Matthew West wrote this song. He said, maybe that's the point, to reach the point of giving up. Because when I'm finally at rock bottom, Well, that's when I start looking up and reaching out. It's easy to go through life thinking we have it made. And if we don't search what's weak, we will go through life thinking we have it made. And the other, and a lot of times, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of sad in the same way, that when we get to the bottom, the very last thing that we do, what do? We pray. We ask God to get us out of this situation. Failing to realize that when we're going through the good times, He's also there. But we don't look at it that way. When we're going through the good times, it's like, hey, I've got it made. Things are going well. I don't need God right now. So I'll just put Him on a shelf because I don't want to overdo it. And then when I need Him, I can pull Him off the shelf and I can talk to Him and I can say something to Him. There are opportunities in life that we can only experience a lot of times when we've been through weakness and we've been through issues in our lives. Before I came here at the other church I attended, we would always try to identify people to lead small groups. And the two that you didn't want to lead was grief share and divorce care. Grief share is difficult to do because you can only do those if you've experienced it. You can't do that if you haven't. You can't talk to people about divorce if you haven't been there. And most of us have faced grief. And so there's opportunities to do that. Some type of grief in our lives. But it's very difficult, and it's almost a sign of weakness when you go around a room and you ask people, what brought you here? Sometimes there's not enough tissues in the box. Because people are really broken. And they feel at their very lowest. And yet, when you go around and you listen to people, you gain strength and know that you can get through this and know you can get through difficult situations, but it's not easy. There's a character in the Old Testament we're all familiar with, a guy by the name of Moses. God told Moses, He says, you need to go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses argued with God. Well, I stutter. I can't talk very well. He said, I will be with you and I will give you the words. Oh, Lord, I can't do that. That's beyond me. So what's he do? Get your brother. Take Aaron with you and he can speak for you. He wanted to argue with God rather than letting God take his weakness and make it a strength. And we're all a lot the same way. It's easier to live in our strength than it is to try to identify our weaknesses. But what happens, and it really happened the same thing with Moses, is when he was weak, it opened up a conversation with God. That he had to say to God, I can't do that. And when we identify what our weaknesses are and the things in our life that are holding us back, the things that we're hesitant to do, the things that we're hesitant to talk about, then that's when we become most vulnerable. And it's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to really open up and say, hey, I've got this issue or this problem. Or this is what's going on in my life right now. Would you pray for me? Would you help me walk through this situation? It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. And we look at the greatest example of all in history who took a weakness. It was Jesus Christ. When he was on the cross, he said, "What? Why have you forsaken me?" He also said, "Let this cup pass from me." But yet, in the midst of his weakest moment, he became strong. What about while he washed the disciples' feet? Man, that's an awful thought, isn't it? You ever been in a foot washing service? I have. Nancy's shaking her head. Yes, I've been in them. They're interesting because you talk about humbling yourself. It really does humble you to do that. I'm not going to say I enjoyed it, but I will say I did it. Maybe that's a weakness. I'm not sure. But I did it. But when we look at Jesus and look at that example that he gave us, I read this week and I thought it was really interesting. The world favors the influential, successful, and strong. But we are to see those who are weak in the eyes of society and lift them up, love, and serve them in humility. That's the role that Jesus has called us to be. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more humbling and serving than washing someone's feet. And they're relatively clean today. Back then, wearing sandals, they weren't. But the Bible says that Jesus took a towel, wrapped it around his waist. And of course, they're all telling him, "Well, you don't, I need to wash your feet, Jesus." And I would have been interesting to see what would have happened if he'd have said, "Okay, you're first, Peter." "No, wait a minute. Maybe I better not do that." Christian faith is built upon the perception of weakness. What do you mean by that? We can't do nothing on our own. When we really stop and think about it and we see someone that's sick, are we the one that's going to heal them? We're the one that's going to pray for them and speak healing into them. But it's God that does the work. It's us that extends the faith. And sometimes we're weak. Sometimes that's hard to do. The world favors influential and successful and strong people. That's what the world wants. Jesus wants somebody that says, "David, I'm willing to wash your feet." That's what the world says. That's what the world says, but that's what Jesus said. I want to share this with you in closing because it was interesting. We cannot escape sickness, disease, and death, which is the ultimate weakness. Think about that. However, Jesus made a way to eternal life through him and has given hope to go through weakness on earth, knowing that death is not the end. What we may think is weakness is death is not the end. That's the good news. There are Christians throughout the world who are experiencing imprisonment, torture, and death for their faith. It's often in these hostile environments that the number of Christians multiply as they know Jesus in a very real way. In whatever area of weakness we find ourselves, whether in ourselves or our circumstances, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The grace of God is sufficient and made perfect in our weakness, and we can receive grace upon grace from him in time of need. Or in time when we feel weak, then that's when his grace becomes the greatest and becomes the power source that makes us strong. So as we think about the message, I'm gonna ask you this week to look inside and say, what are my weaknesses? What is it that's there that God really needs to make a strength out of? How can He take something and radically change me that it might radically change someone else? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that in spite of our weaknesses, You're there. You're there for us. You're there to comfort us. You're there to reassure us. But You're there to change us, to empower us, to give us the strength to make that weakness a strength. Not for the world, but to change the world. Because that's what we're called to do. Lord, thank You for this day. Bless Your people. I want to give You thanks for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.